And then in terms of sort of protecting yourself before you get to the insurance piece of it, you'll notice that all sort of the purple tinged ones here are because of the human element. These are not people hacking into your system without assistance. They are accidental disclosure, which we've seen from people giving their computer to Goodwill before cleaning it off. People picking up a drive in a parking lot and sticking it into their computer. All kinds of crazy things. And one thing I would say before I get to the insurance thing in terms of broader risk management is that it's really important that all companies and law firms be talking to their employees about how to protect themselves and do the training. And more importantly, honestly, than that even, is to create an environment in-house where people feel comfortable telling leadership if they think they may have made a mistake. If they've clicked on an email that now it seems like maybe it was kind of suspicious and they shouldn't have clicked on it. Or if they think, oh, shoot, I did take my computer to Goodwill and I didn't think to clean it off. And so I think a lot of companies that I've worked with have found that when they create an environment where they say, tell us anything, tell us if you've made a mistake, you won't suffer any adverse consequences for making a mistake as long as you report it, they've seen much higher reporting and are able to sort of control the risks up front. So that's my just general risk management advice. In terms of what happens, I mean, let's say you do get hacked. What are the liabilities that you need to protect yourself from? There's third-party liability, which is obviously what we generally see in the news when companies get sued for, you know, losing a bunch of consumer or client information. Along with that, there are also notification costs, which can cost into the millions of dollars because all states now have laws about what you as an organization have to do if you find out you've been breached and that someone's information may have been stolen. So for instance, I was working for a hotel chain, and they had reason to believe that some payment card data had been compromised. And so they had to spend a gajillion dollars not only investigating that, but paying for credit monitoring for all the folks that had their information compromised, and following notification laws pursuant to which they had to contact all these people to let them know that their information had been compromised. I'm sure almost everyone in this room has received one of those notifications from someone, be it your credit card company or Target or somewhere else that you've shopped. And so the companies are obligated to do that under the law, and it costs a lot of money to track everybody down and provide notification. There can also be PCI compliance fines. Those are payment card fines that you have to pay to your payment card processor. Those also tend to run into the millions of dollars, so it's pretty pricey. There's also property damage that can happen, where you have either physical injury to property, business interruption, especially in the case of denial of service attacks, or where all of your systems have been encrypted and you can't access them, intellectual property being stolen, funds being transferred. Regulatory investigations historically have not been that extensive, but now a lot of regulators are really paying closer and closer attention. They're doing audits of companies that they regulate to make sure that they have systems in place to protect against these sorts of things. And if there are breaches, they are coming back to see what you did wrong. Those can also get really pricey, especially if you are subject to regulation from multiple agencies or in multiple jurisdictions. Then, especially in the consumer space, the brand restoration can be a big deal. But generally, that's less of a concern if you're not consumer-facing. And then finally, computer forensics to help you figure out what went wrong and fix it. These companies charge a lot of money to figure that stuff out and fix it for you. So it gets to be pretty pricey. So how do you get your money back? There are a lot of cyber policies on the market, and we'll talk a little bit about those. Those tend to be pretty bespoke. They're not like your, you know, commercial property policy where they all basically look the same. But it's important not to overlook the traditional business policies that everybody has. It's a little bit trickier to find coverage in those, but depending on the very specific circumstances of some sort of cyber event, there can be coverage there even if you don't have a cyber policy. So I'm going to describe that a little bit so that if this happens, you kind of know what to look for. CGL policies, that's just your general liability policy. And there are kind of two ways to get into these. One is your typical kind of breach that you hear about where there is information disclosed, usually a third party's information. So the question that courts ask are, does that constitute a written publication of material that violates a person's right of privacy? That's a specific grant of coverage under a CGL, and that's where most companies try to fit it if they get sued for this. And courts differ a little bit on that, which I'll get to. But before you even really get to that question, most CGL policies now have specific cyber exclusions. And so you have to look to see if your policy has that. If it's a recent policy, it probably does. If you have a situation, which many companies encounter, where the breach actually probably happened some time ago and is just now being discovered.